Great. So last year we were discussing sort of the nature of chashmal and like what status does it have, right? What do we think about it, both in terms of it and its application? And there are really three approaches to the issue of electricity. On the one hand, there's the approach, let's say, of Rav Kook and Rav Yehuda Yehuda Rosenberg, my great-great-great-grandfather, who thought it's fire. It just, you know, it's a hefza of fire. It's pure energy, and energy is fire. And using, right, or harnessing or making energy, like, you know, distilled energy on Shabbos is a malacha called Lo Tivaru Esh B'chom Lo Shvoteichem, right? It's the supreme, let's say, creative act is harnessing energy, and Havar of Esh is Aser, and therefore any use, any manipulation, any creation of electricity is the same thing as if you had done that same action to fire. That's number one, right? Eser Daraisa, no matter what you're doing. And anytime anything, right, any little sensor, anything else involves chashmal, involves electricity, automatically you're in the issue of Eser Daraisa, potentially. Okay, so that's one extreme. The other, right, is to say, no, right, it's not fire. It's a particle, and like any other particle, so it could be, whatever you do with it is, see, water particles are particles, and electrons are a particle, and if you use them to push something, it's like opening up a water spout and letting water do something, or push something. There's nothing inherently problematic about moving electrons around. Right, that's the other approach. Okay, now within that approach, though, assuming that we think that electrons are, you know, or electricity itself is not fire, how do we harness it? Okay, and in that approach, one shita, which is Rosh Chodesh Zalman, he says basically there's nothing wrong with it. It's really as if you were to attach, I don't know, like a little water wheel to your faucet that then spun a fan. So if you turn on a fan, in theory, the only thing that's happening is you have a fan attached to your faucet in the kitchen. You open up the faucet, water pours through, and the fan starts turning. Matov, right? That's one approach, right? And then, you know, he gets into questions of, well, at the end of the day, Rosh Chodesh Zalman still isn't matir using electricity with a mandan. But he says ultimately that the issue is much more one of an Issa D'Rabbanan of Gzeira Shema, you'll do a malacha, as opposed to anything else, right? On the other hand, you can say, no, something in the harnessing of electricity is problematic, right? Not because of electricity, but because of how you're using it or using it. So the Chazon Ish had this very big chiddush that he thinks it's boneh, right? Any electrical circuits are boneh, and you're building a circuit, is one problem. And the second problem is that you're turning the wire from a dead wire into a live wire. We call it a live wire because it has been fundamentally transformed by the presence of electrical current. And therefore, it's as if you did boneh. So, right, Shlomo Zalman rejects that because it's, if you open and close your door, you're not doing boneh on your house. Why is an electrical circuit any different? But the Chazon Ish thought that because it's so significant, right, that creating this current, this connection, creates a current, right? Or that's like so significant that that's a malacha. That's boneh. While opening and closing your door of your house doesn't transform your house, right? When your door is closed, it's not like, oh, now it's a house, it's a home, right? Kan ze bayit, kan ze live, as opposed to, you know, if the door is open, so then it's like, you know, there's none of the intimiyut, v'chule, v'chule. So Rosh Chodesh Zalman says, like, look, it's a door. One's a big door, and the circuits in your computer are very, very small doors, but doors essentially are doors, and there's no boneh. Rav Asher Weiss wanted to say, oh, sorry, let's do first Rav Uziel. Rav Uziel thought that it's maki bepatish, not in the electricity, but in the device, okay? Meaning it's not that, oh, connecting an electrical circuit is bone because electricity is so transformative, but because the device, right, when it's not on, is broken, okay? Your computer, when it's not on, is a broken computer. When you turn it on, you fixed it. That's his svara, right? Rosh Chodesh Zalman says that's not called fixing your computer, that's called using your computer, right? Obviously, the nafkamina is that when your computer is, when you call tech support, right, Okay. Oh, sorry. That's the other thing, right? Rav Shlomo's Zalman makes a lot of sense, right? Right. What's Rav Uziel's argument? What's the first thing they tell you when you call tech support? Yeah, your nose.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on?
Okay, very good. And the other, there's one other thing that they also do before that, but it's your, yes. Is it plugged in? Right? They would say, okay, please first make sure that it's plugged in. Right? Then, you know, have you turned it off and on again? Right? What's that you're saying? It's like, oh, like turning it off and on. That's like, yeah, you're right. It's, you know, broken and fixed again. Rav Uziel is trying to make the argument that like anytime an object has a certain function and it's not performing that function, it's not working. The problem is that if you have, I don't know, a faucet and your faucet is off, right? Is it broken? Right? Its function is to allow water flow through, and it's not broken, right? That's its job, is to sometimes be in use and sometimes not. You know, it's just very hard to really accept that argument. Now, Rav Asher Weiss had a similar sort of meta argument that anything which is inherently constructive, it's not really necessarily about electricity so much as anything that's inherently super constructive and creative is a malacha. Because of Makabe Patish, he bases that on Yushalmi, that Rav Shlakish and Yochanan were masmech things that they didn't know what they should be a tolda of on Makabe Patish. And the chiddush there is that we normally assume there are 39 avos malacha. If it's part of one of those malachos, it's a malacha. And if not, then it's just mutter. Rav Asher Weiss is arguing based on Yushalmi that really malacha is aser. And now they are broken up into categories, but really what defines something as a malacha is how creative is it, right? If it's how useful is it? If it's really creative, then it's a malacha. Then you could break it into categories. But first and foremost, there's the concept, is it malacha, is it not? And then the question is, which malacha? Now, the reason why we have a problem with that, I think, is it's just that it's not what comes across from the Sigyos in Masechet Shabbos, right? It seems very clear that we first ask, which malacha is it, right?
So then according to Asher Weiss, could you in theory not like use Lego on Shabbos? Because you could build something that's relatively permanent with that?
I think he would not say that, because at the end of the day, there's like fundamentally creative about, you know, using Lego. Harnessing Lego isn't like an inherently creative act, as opposed to, let's say, like, oh, using like complex electrical circuits. Like, wow, harnessing electricity is like this tremendously creative thing that we've done. Again, one of the things that we wanted to argue last time, right, exactly what you pointed out, like, is it the person is doing something creative or something creative is being done? We would say, okay, even if you think that electrical circuits are just so inherently creative, right, but the person who's using it isn't necessarily doing something very creative, right? So Rav Shlomo Zalman's argument that at the end of the day, you have this object, the object is perfectly complete, letting the electricity through or not through isn't going to be bone. Just like if you have some really complicated water wheel, right? I don't think anyone would say, oh, a super complicated water wheel, that's got to be Makim Patish, even though it's all set up already. You just have to let the water in, right? So I think you're right. Meaning if you want to focus on the individual's creativity, if the guy makes like a really awesomely clever Lego contraption, right? Like, why is that worse off than flicking a switch? Now, I understand that, oh, but the structure of the switch and the electricity and the whole system is very complex and it's very creative and very constructive, right? Which maybe the Lego isn't. At the end of the day, you're not really doing that necessarily. So it's hard to argue that that's like a supremely constructive act. Okay? Those were the shittos we saw on, there's just one, the Beis Yitzchak thought that there's a siddur rabbanan of molid, which was like a little bit of like a sort of a secondary issue that, it's sort of like a parallel to the Rav Asher Weiss's theory, but he's saying, no, obviously it's not malacha, because it's not a malacha, but when something looks very creative, it imbues new properties into something, right? So now the fan is turning by itself, or the light bulb now is giving off light, that's molid. You're creating a new property, right? It used to be a light bulb, and now it's glowing. The glowing is a new property, right? If it changes color, that's a new property. If it has a new scent, that's a new property. Right, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that's also not true because right, you're not giving it a new property. Right, you're simply turning it on, and then it'll go off and turns it on. It'll go off. It's not a new property of a light bulb, right? So you haven't imbued it with anything new. Anyway, those are the shittos on electricity. So sort of the next step is, okay, well, how do we use electricity, or how do we survive in the electricity-centric world that we live in if, you know, you can't use electricity? Okay? So just like a first point, Rosh Shlomo Zalman makes a very like geschmack point, which is if you would have assumed, right, some people say, it's like, oh, like if there are shittos who think that it's d'oraisa, right, mimela, shouldn't we just be machmir, right? Shouldn't we just, you know, if there's a shita that thinks it's wrong, shouldn't we just be machmir and avoid it? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman and many other people point out that ein nachon klal lihimana miletaneg b'shabbat, right? There's a mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, right? So in addition, so obviously in general, we're norm hungry. We like to be able to be mekayim halacha. So sometimes being a machmir is to avoid making mistakes. And sometimes we're machmir just because you want more halacha to do, right? You want to, you know, to have more opportunities to be mekayim ratzon Hashem and to be davik b'ratzon Hashem and b'tzivoy Hashem. So you can be machmir on something even if you're not, so you don't really think that that it's right and that you have to be worried about it or that it's not legitimate to do it, but just simply because, you know, it's an opportunity for more avodas Hashem. On Shabbos, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, there's a counter pressure to this general desire to be machmir, which is, right, all of us obviously love to be machmir all the time, right? But on Shabbos, if you're machmir on everything, right, obviously assuming that you have a legitimate, that you're, you know, you should do the right thing, should just be makil on everything. But if you're machmir more than is appropriate, then you're being nimna from oneg Shabbos, right? Especially in case, let's say, you know, the elderly people who can't walk out of their houses without a wheelchair. So what are you going to do, right? How are they going to move around? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, it's, you might say, oh, well, they're going to rely on the tzomel duhekizach, right? The electrical wheelchairs. They're, you know, not everyone thinks that's mutter. Not everyone likes the grama switch. It's electricity, v'chule, right? Maybe they should just stay at home all day. He says, no, right? Because then you're being mavata oneg Shabbos, right? Umutter shapir leftach b'Shabbos. He's talking about the refrigerators, actually, right? B'chol is b'chol sha, right? And you could, he says, right, there are people who would say that you should only open up the fridge when the compressor's already running. But he says that's incorrect, because if you do that, then people are going to lose out on oneg Shabbos. Okay, and there's a Rosh and even a Chazanish who all basically say the same idea, that when it's appropriate, when the halacha is one way, right, even if there's like a legitimate shita who's machmir, you should not be machmir more than is necessary on Shabbos if it's going to counter your oneg Shabbos. Okay, so then the question is, okay, how can we use? Is there an appropriate way to use electricity such that we could be makayim oneg Shabbos appropriately? Right, so Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he objects to automation, meaning Shabbos clocks, right? And he basically brings up a few interesting reasons why he doesn't like them. Okay, so he says, "Hinei l'anias daiti pasha she'asur lahatir davar zeh." Why? Because first of all, yecholim la'asot kol malachot haShabbat. Right? He says, first of all, the very fact that you could just automate everything and then have all the factories running and all the different malachos going on is, right? And he says, the Tanaim and Aram clearly would have answered this, right? Because it just goes against the whole nature of Shabbos that we're going to have everything, all the malachos being done on Shabbos, and we'll simply set them on a timer, right? Kamosha asur amir la'akum mitam zeh. V'gam ulai zeh mimeila b'chlal iser zeh da'asur amir la'akum. He says, oh, this is very interesting, right? He says, it's like amir la'akhri. Why? What's amir la'akhri? You tell a guy, someone who's not mitzvah on Shabbos, to go and do a malacha for you. Here too, right? You take a Shabbos clock, and you set it so that it goes and does a malach, even if it's not mitzvah on Shabbos, and it goes and does malacha for you, right? Let's say you program the computer so that it will go and do the malachas for you on Shabbos, right? It's the same thing as Amir Lanachri, okay? Now, it happens, it's a very good parallel, in a certain sense, right? Why? Right? Because at the end of the day, you're getting someone who's not mitzvah on Shabbos to do the malacha. Right? On the other hand, why is it not a compelling parallel? Why is it not a compelling argument?
You're telling them, first of all, that it's happening before Shabbos, and like meaning you're setting it to happen before Shabbos. All the action is you're doing it, and you're doing it before Shabbos.
Exactly, right? All the human action is being done in advance. It's one thing to say that a guy doing a Maisa Malacha for you on Shabbos is problematic, because at the end of the day, someone is doing Malacha on Shabbos, right? And they're doing it for you. So either we're worried that then you'll come to do it yourself, right? Because this human's doing it, so I can ask the guy to do it, I can just do it myself. Or because if you think that there's an Isser, Amir Lenachi, like there's like Gemara, that sounds like a Havamina, that's Daraisa, then the argument is sort of like a Shlichos idea of, just like you, and Ata, Ubincha, Ubitecha, Va'amtecha, Va'amatcha, Behebtecha, V'gerecha, Asher V'sharech, right? You can't have your animals do Malacha, even though they're not Jewish, right? What's the idea? Is that you, people in your orbit, or Malacha, you also can't have people do Malacha for you, right? You need to be Shomer Shabbos. If you have another human do it for you, so then they're not being Shomer Shabbos for you, okay? So someone in your orbit or someone under your influence is therefore being Mechal Shabbos on your behalf, right? Maybe that's even a real problem if the guy is doing it, because he's doing it for you, and you are causing, he's not part of the bris. But if he's doing it for you, right, then Malacha is being done for a Shomer Shabbos, which could be a problem, right? However, right, the automation is all happening before Shabbos. All of the Maisei Adam are before Shabbos. And, right, there is the interesting question of Shvisas Kalim, Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. We pass in like Beis Hillel, there's no Isser Shvisas Kalim. So if there's no Isser Shvisas Kalim, isn't this exactly Shvisas Kalim? Right? Which we pass in is totally fine. Right? Except for the Midrabanan issues of it looks like you're going to doing Malacha maybe in certain cases, Vechule. Okay? So he says, Asru Kol Malachos Anasim Shil Yisrael Mitzad Amir Asa Yisrael V'kol Shil Mitzad Mais Yisrael. Right? He says, and he says, oh, what about Bishol? This is like this cool grandma point. He says, wait a second, but Bishol, you put it on the fire right before Shabbos and it cooks. He says, ah, the Maisa of Bishol is putting it on the fire. The Totsa of Bishol is that it gets cooked, but the Maisa of Bishol happens before Shabbos, which is actually something that we argued when we were trying to explain why Bishol might not be grama at all, right? Because the Maisa of Bishol is happening via Daim, because the Maisa of Bishol is putting it on the fire, even though the Totsa is that it gets cooked. Anyway, that's just a cool side point that he makes the same point. Okay. And therefore, he says he's against Shabbos clocks. They say that Moshe actually changed his mind later on when he saw that people were only using it for like things like lights and not like, I don't know, to put the TV on a timer, v'chule. So he decided that it's more, that he's okay, that, you know, if they're only using it for things that are like Litzorech Shabbos, so then, and are, you know, appropriate, then it's okay. Anyway, the Shulzaman is totally fine with it. Yeah.
I know, I've been in the homes of both Rav David Feinstein and Rav Reuben Feinstein, and they both have Shabbos clocks. And
okay, great. Things. That's awesome. Yeah, so you see that also he's not so, his argument from Amir Lenachri is more of a, like, you see that we care about doing malacha through other people or other sources, and not so much that it's actually like Amir Lenachri, because, see, he's, you know, once he saw that people weren't abusing it, he was okay with it. And two is, right, his sons all use Shabbos clocks. Okay. Rosh Hashanah happens to have another kula where he thinks that he has certain shittos about, like, messing with the pins on Shabbos that aren't so mikubal on like normative postgame, so we're not going to go into that right now. But Rosh Hashanah is very fine with the Shabbos clock, like super duper fine. He has like big kulas that you could like change pins sometime. If like it's on, you could change the pins for the next time when it's on. And if it's on, obviously you could prevent it from changing stuff. That's fine. That makes sense to everybody, right? Because if it's on, you can make sure that it doesn't turn it off, right? It's about to turn, it's going to turn it off, and you can just take the pin on it, it's going to turn it off out. But Rosh Hashanah has like other kulas about stuff. Ayin Shem, if you're interested in understanding it. But it's not so mikubal on the postkim. Okay. Next question. What about, one second. I just wanted to Oh, yes. Also, so how can we use electricity, right? So one option was automation, right? Have it all set up in advance. Another thing, Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that altering currents, which don't involve any new circuits, right? It's simply a matter of the measure of resistance, let's say. He thinks it's really a mutter. He thinks there's no problem with that whatsoever. It's also very interesting. And that is a huge part of his heter for hearing aids. He says by hearing aids, right, that you could change the volume. You need to change the volume on the hearing aids. Otherwise, you get feedback loops, right, at least in the old ones. So Rishon Salman said that old people who have hearing aids, they have to leave them on all Shabbos. You can't turn them on Shabbos. You have to leave them on before Shabbos. And you can't shut them off on Shabbos, but you could. Also, if you think that want the batteries to last all Shabbos, you can do is you can lower the volume. Because lowering the volume, at least in those ones, now I think it's all digital, so that's not true anymore, was simply a matter of changing the resistance. Right, hoil v'ha sivuv ha regulator, which I think is a resistor, really. Mishtaneh rakoa hazerem sheover derech hamenoros. Mibli lashpia klal ala ish atma shebetoch hamenoros. Okay, he has this idea that even in an electric light, since all you're doing is you're affecting the amount of electricity that's able to pass through the wires, like over here. So when it gets here to the bulb, you're not affecting the bulb. You're not turning off the bulb, right? You're not even causing that to go out. You're simply limiting the amount of electricity that's going to be hammering its way through that filament. So he thinks that actually should be mutter. Again, that's a big chiddush of Shlomo Zalman. Not everyone's picked that bell. Okay. So what he says basically is that you could change the zerem, right? And if you change the zerem, and then again, all you're really doing is altering the extent of the electric current, but not creating a new circuit. Now, Machon Somet uses this for like everything under the sun, like everything, right? So they basically try to do is that the device is on all the time, and you're basically either doing, right, Shinui Zerem, right, where you're just changing the extent of the current. And what they also do, let's say you need something to be turned on the chatrila, right? So then what they do is they have it turn on automatically and then shut off, and then you could just prevent it from getting reshut off. Or what you could do, right, is they have the grama switches, okay? So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, you have a lot, why do you have so much flexibility in electricity, right? Because it's not daraisa, it's totally darabanan. And then, at least as long as you're not doing a daraisa thing. And he thinks that Shinui Zerem and Havshachat Matzav are both totally fine. So if you're keeping the state it from going off, or you're changing the amount of electricity but not changing any circuits, he thinks there's really nothing wrong. Okay? Third thing is that he thinks that because of that, he's also grammatical by grama, even though he has, right? He's like, we can't agree that Vada, this is grama. Because right, maybe it's not time delay is not good enough. But a time delay, even though a time delay is not good enough, necessarily, you could make a switch, which is the two-step action switch, where you have nothing happening, right? You move something out of the way, and then later when it turns on, it just won't be impeded. So that could be he thinks that's grama. And then you just have a ton of flexibility in dealing with electricity in cases where you have some sort of need, let's say, right, security or health issues. So putting that together, you actually have a lot of flexibility. Okay, what's the problem then? It only works according to Shlomo Zalman. What if you think that electricity is fire or bone, right? Then you suddenly have a lot less place for flexibility. Okay, so maybe we'll chart it out in a second. So first rule of Shlomo Zalman, you have a ton of flexibility. Okay, what about according to the Osram? Let's say according to the Chazon Ish. how do you deal with, let's say you're in the hospital and you need to make some sort of Grumma device for the hospital, right? Or some sort of device for the hospital, right? So we agree that automation is a good option, right? Even Moshe Feinstein is mode at the end. But what about other options? What do you do if you need to do it on Bo Bayom? Yeah.
Well, the Chazon Ish's big thing is all about Bona. So if the circuit is continually on all of Shabbos and you just, let's say, change the resistance, that doesn't seem to be problematic.
Exactly, right? Very good. Right? If Chazon Ish's basis is it's an Issa D'oraisa of Bona, then it's only going to be a problem Issa D'oraisa of Bona if, right, in terms of the making of the circuits. But if it's a resistance issue, if you're changing right, the current, then in theory, that should be totally fine. The problem with that, though, is that in modern devices, even if you could, at the point of your impact, you're not changing any circuits, it's very hard for there not to be any circuits that are being changed just because everything's digital now. But in theory, right, exactly. If you could avoid connecting a circuit, if you could just make it a change of a hamshachat matzav or a shinui zerem, and when you're changing the current, you're just keeping the system from shutting off, that would be very, very helpful. Okay, so that's what we do for the Chazon Ish. What would we do for Rav Asher Weiss? Okay, so Rav Asher Weiss thinks that any use of electricity is like, it's like Makabe Patish Gamor. Yeah, Yaakov.
Shouldn't it be the same thing? Meaning, if the circuit has been completed the whole time and you're just making it the more or less, right? In theory, it could work the entire time. You're not making it from broken to fixed. You're just making it from less operable to more operable. It was working the entire time. It just works better now.
Right. So that would help us according to Rav Uziel, because Rav Uziel sees it as Maki Bepatish in the object, in the Kli. Right? Because then exactly what you're saying is, well, if it already has a current in it and it's already functioning and now you're just going to make it function more, let's say, then maybe that's fine, right? But according to the Rav Asher Weiss, it's not Maki Bepatish in the Kli. The Maki Bepatish is the harnessing of electricity as an objective act of Melacha, right? Which becomes, it's very amorphous, but it's yet very all-encompassing. Any sort of thing, any interaction, any use that harnesses electricity should be a problem. So according to him, I think you would really need to, you just say, okay, look, Grumma in Gram Havara or Gram Kibwe is Grumma. You have to just, really make use of Grumma because you don't have these other things to help you out. What you do have, though, and this is interesting, he has this massive Kula, right, which we mentioned last time, which is, what about all the sensors? You walk down the street and your neighbor has an automatic light, right? They have automatic floodlights that turn on as you walk down the street. That's motion sensored. Or let's say he has a security camera, right? And as you walk by, that security camera is recording you. So you are causing that security camera to record you and record stuff, right? And maybe it's motion sense activated. So what do we do about all that, right? How do you walk down the street these days? How do you go to the Kotel? They're like, I think Rav Eliashiv said it's usher to go to the Kotel because there are security cameras on Shabbos, and that's usher to be walk in front of a security camera on Shabbos. Right? What do you do about that? So Usher Weiss comes up with a massive, massive chiddush, and he says, right? His massive chumrah is also a very big kula, because if it's a amorphous chalos of Makim Bepatish, all right, because it's objectively you've harnessed electricity to do something useful. You can only do Maki Bepatish if you mean to do it, right? You can't do Maki Bepatish by accident. The whole idea, the whole definition is that you did it on purpose and you, right, you created some sort of object or some sort of useful ends. But if you trigger it by accident, right, if you trigger something by accident, then of course it's not Maki Bepatish because you, right, you didn't do anything particularly creative at all, right? You walk down the street. So that's actually really very helpful, but that doesn't help you in cases where we actually want to do something with electricity, right? Because if we want to do the thing with electricity, then again, it's going to be Makim Patish. So Rav Asher Weiss himself basically says, look, you know, you have to use the grama in hospitals and whatever, you have to use the grama stuff. And you have to be somech on the shitos that think that it's grama, but which he says, like, look, you know, it's not so obvious that all these things are grama. But in the hospital anyways, it's all pikuach, you know, there's always some sort of pikuach nefesh involved. Or at least rachok, and you can be somech on the shitos that think it's grama. I don't know what he would say about the scooter deuter machines. Because it should really be a problem. According to him, unless he really thinks that it's grama, unless you think that the grama situation is good enough, that it's not nechshav grama, that it's really nechshav grama.